بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. طيب، إن شاء الله today we'll finish up with Maliki Yawm al-Din. So last time we spoke about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two of his names, one of them is Al-Malik and the other one is Malik, and we discussed some of the meanings of those two names. And it is clear, as we spoke about last time, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in reality the owner, the Malik, of everything in this universe. And he's also the Malik, the one who has authority over everything in this universe. And his authority is supposed to be listened to. And when we say he's the owner of everything and he has authority over everything, we mean by that everything, including even our own lives. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has authority over our lives and what we can do, what is permissible with respect to our lives and what is not permissible with respect to our lives. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take our life whenever He wills to take it. As we say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return. And anyone who thinks that he is any kind of owner or person in authority in this life, actually it is only a kind of limited authority under the command and under the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we've seen in recent days, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to take away all of a person's wealth, all of a person's life, this is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right, and part of the aspect that he is al-Malik and also al-Malik. So when we see, for example, natural disasters like what occurred, all of this is part of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He does all of these things according to His wisdom and according to His justice. But as we spoke about at the end last time, in the verse actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simply referring to Himself as Al-Malik in a general sense, or even Al-Malik in a general sense, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking in particular about the Day of Judgment. Well, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us in Al-Fatiha that He is Rabbul Alameen. So Rabbul Alameen, that He has already told us, already tells us His relationship to this world, to this creation. That He is the Rabb, He is the Creator, He is the Sustainer. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking in particular about the Day of Judgment and reminding us about the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given limited authority to human beings. From even in Allah's Sharia, not even talking about man-made law, but even in Allah's Sharia, someone can be an owner of something, possessor of something. So there is a kind of ownership, as we talked about last time, milk or ownership. There's a kind of ownership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to humans in this world. There's even a kind of authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to different human beings. But when it comes to the Day of Judgment, this day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about every time we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, when it comes to that day, no one will have any authority except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even that limited authority that people have in this world, and that limited ownership and limited authority that people might think they're never going to lose, even that will turn out to be gone. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even give that much on that day. No one will have any authority except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يُومُ الدِّينَ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يُومُ الدِّينَ يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَ دِينَ لِلَّهِ. And what will tell you what is the Day of Judgment? Again, what will convey to you what is the Day of Judgment? It is a day in which no soul will have any kind of dominion over itself, and the command that day will be completely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on that day, on the Day of Judgment, even though in this life, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen, He's the one who created and sustained and nourished everything in this life, in this life there are people who do not recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Malik, as the one in authority here in this life. But on that day, everyone without exception will be forced to recognize the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the only one sitting in judgment on that day. All the limited kind of authority and power that people have, all of that will be gone. In fact, everyone will be resurrected, will all come on that day barefoot, uncircumcised, naked, all of mankind. There will be no rich and poor, there will be no connections, there will be no cheating, bribes, or any ways to get ahead on that day. Because on that day, the king and the owner of that day is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is above and beyond any needs. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our worship in this dunya. He doesn't need our worship or anything on that day. So there's not going to be any way that we're going to be able to bribe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in no need of us. Usually the only way you can bribe someone is if you have something that that person wants or needs. Either money or whatever happens to be the case. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any of that. And He will be the only one in authority on that day. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it clear, as I said, to all of mankind that in reality, especially those people who thought they had power or even ownership in this world, they'll find out that on that day the real reality will come. And there's a couple of hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say and do on that day. For example, in one hadith from al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, يَقْبِضُ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ وَيَتْوِي السَّمَوَاتِ بِيَمِينِهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَ الْمَلِكِ أَيْنَ مُلُوكُ الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grasp the earth and fold up the heavens in His right hand, and then He will say, I am al-Malik, I am the king. Where are the kings of the earth? And another narration recorded by a Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَتْوِي اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ يَخُذُهُنَّ بِيَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَ الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ ثُمَّ يَتْوِي الْأَرْضِينَ بِشِمَالِهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَ الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. Here in this hadith, again, the Prophet ﷺ described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as taking the heavens and folding them on the Day of Judgment in His right hand and saying that, I am al-Malik, I am the real king. Where are those people of power? Where are the arrogant ones? And then He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fold the earths in His left hand and say again, I am the king. Where are those powerful ones? Where are those arrogant ones? Well, of course, the Day of Judgment is a very important day, and the belief in the hereafter is one of the pillars of our beliefs. And in fact, often in the Quran, you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning belief in Allah and belief in the hereafter. Al-Iman billah wal-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir. And it is a day, obviously, that contains many aspects. And it is important for Muslims to have at least an understanding of what is going to occur on that day, so they can have at least some appreciation of what they're headed towards. And if you want, everyone wants to know what the future holds, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us at least what the future is going to hold on that day. So every Muslim should at least have the interest to try to find out some of the aspects of what will occur on that day. However, if we go over that here, it'll be another lecture added to the number of lectures that we've done already. So I will leave that to you to study on your own. First thing we'd like to talk about is the relationship between this verse and the previous verse. In the previous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Right? He describes Himself as, let's say, the compassionate, the merciful, as found in some translations. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Maliki Yawm al-Din. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first describes Himself as compassionate and merciful, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the master, the owner, king of the day of judgment. It is interesting when you look in the Quran and you find a number of places in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Day of Judgment. And what name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often refers to Himself when referring to the Day of Judgment. For example, one verse in the Quran says, وَخَشَعَاتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِرَحْمَنِ فَلَا تَسْمَعُوا إِلَى هَمْسَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, This is talking about on the day of judgment. And all of the voices will be humbled in front of Ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say in front of Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically said in front of Ar-Rahman, and nothing shall you hear but the low voice of their footsteps. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Himself as Ar-Rahman, but even though He's referring to Himself as Ar-Rahman, even then, and even though He's talking about Himself as Ar-Rahman, the voices cannot be lifted in front of Him. Imagine if He's describing Himself as Al-Aziz or Al-Qahar or something of that nature. But even Ar-Rahman on that day, the voices will not be able to lift in front of Him. Another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ ذِينِ الْحَقُّ لِرَحْمَنِ وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the sovereignty on that day will be the true sovereignty belonging to Ar-Rahman. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the day of judgment. And once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Himself as Ar-Rahman. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it will be a hard day for the disbelievers. And it will be a hard day for the disbelievers. وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَصِيرًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Himself as Ar-Rahman, but still, even though He is Ar-Rahman, it will still be a difficult day for the disbelievers. Even though He is Ar-Rahman, and He is filled with mercy, even though, and His justice will determine that even though He is Ar-Rahman, this will be a difficult day for those disbelievers. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik Yawm al-Din is actually part of His Rahmah. So He says He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and He follows that up with Malik Yawm al-Din, because the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Himself exclusive, the only one in authority that day, the only one giving judgment that day, the only one handing out reward or punishment on that day, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that actually is part of the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because for a number of reasons. First of all, it means that the deeds that human beings perform, when they perform them properly, these deeds will not be worthless. They will not be meaningless. It is part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards and gives graciously to those people who do good deeds. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not Ar-Rahman, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave this position for Himself on the Day of Judgment, then it means that the good deeds that someone might have done may be not rewarded properly, or somehow it would not be in some kind of a just way. And in fact, truth and justice are manifestations of rahmah, of mercy. In general, human beings have a natural desire for justice. Anytime someone is wronged, he wants justice. Okay, true, some people want more than justice, but that's beside the that's beside the point. But in general, anytime someone is wronged, he wants his right, and he wants justice. So for the one who has all the power and all the authority to come and give him that justice, this is actually part of his rahmah. So the truth, the justice, and the rahmah, all of them go together. There's no contradiction between them, but in fact they all go together completely. And so therefore, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He is Rahman Rahim, part of His being Rahman Rahim is that He is Malik Yawm al-Din. That we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyone will be dealt with justly. Everyone will be dealt with properly. Whether it is the believers or whether it is the disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong anyone in any way. Everyone will get what they deserve. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَّفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that whoever does good deeds, whoever has done good deeds, it is for his soul, and whoever has done evil, it is against it, and against his soul, and your Lord is never unjust to any of the slaves. And the meaning of this verses can be found throughout the Quran. Therefore, the believers, and those people who insist on doing what is right, those people who insist on doing what is good and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can have the comfort and the solace that they know that there will be a day in which they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so therefore all of their good works inshallah will not be for aught. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not merciful in this way of bringing us to a day of judgment and making all of the deeds be weighed and treated in the proper way, what this would mean is that good and evil, justice and injustice, morality and immorality would all be the same. And it would devalue righteousness, goodness, and morality. So even from the point of view of this world, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that there is a difference between good and evil, there is a difference between morality and immorality, and He has made this part of His Sharia in this world, and tells us that there will be a day of judgment in which all of our actions will have repercussion. Every action that we perform will have a repercussion on the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment could reward us for many things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He willed, He could reward us for evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He willed, He could reward us for evil. But He has forbidden dhulm for Himself. He has prescribed rahmah for Himself. So He does not reward people for doing evil, but He rewards people for doing good. That's in the hereafter. But what is the effect of that in this world? The effect of that in this world is, again, His Sharia in this world also is filled with mercy. Because He is telling us to do all of these good things. And all of these good deeds are beneficial for our nafs, our soul, our families, our community, and in fact for the world as a whole. And He will hold us responsible for these good deeds that we do, or these evil deeds that we do. So basically the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we're going to come back to Him on a day of judgment, and He's going to judge us in a certain way. If we do good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. If we do evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to treat us justly, which means if we're deserving punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us punishment. The ramifications of that, or the results of that, is that people should try to do good in this world. And when people try to do good in this world, as I said, it benefits them, it benefits all everybody around them, benefits the world as a whole. So the fact that He's going to hold us accountable for our actions is a part of His rahmah in the hereafter, and it's also part of His rahmah in this world. Because it is an incentive, it is a driving force for people to do good in this world. And when people do good in this world, they're not just doing good for themselves, but they are doing good for all, or the results of it go to all of mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never hold, for example, the one who is an evildoer equal to the one who is doing righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never take these two as equivalent in any way. And as I said, this is part of His rahmah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, in many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that He will not treat people like that equally. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ نَجْعَلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلَ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are we going to treat those people who believe and do good deeds like those people who spread evil and corruption in the earth? Or should we take the muttaqeen, the pious, and treat them like the evildoers? And furthermore, as another aspect related to His rahmah, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never do dhulm, and which again points to the fact that we will meet Him on the day of judgment, is that if someone does wrong, someone commits some kind of dhulm, and as we spoke about in another class, dhulm is a general, has a general meaning. It means to do anything which is wrong, unjust, improper, and so forth. So if someone does something wrong, in general, if someone does something wrong, then he's going to be, or he's not going to be punished. If we have, for example, a country, and we have a ruler, and someone does something wrong, okay, and this person deserves to be punished. So the ruler will not punish him if the ruler is incapable of punishing him, doesn't have the ability to punish him, or the ruler is ignorant of the wrong that he's done, or the ruler is pleased with the wrong that he's done. And those are actually the only three possibilities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this creation and gave people the will and the opportunity to do right or to do wrong. So if they've done wrong, if they've done dhulm, if they've done wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold them to account, then it means one of three things. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not capable of holding them accountable, or He is ignorant of what they're doing, or He is pleased with what they're doing. And all three of these, of course, are impossible with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with them. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ignorant of what they're doing. And we also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfectly capable of holding them responsible for what they do. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold them responsible either in this life or in the hereafter. And that goes back to what I said. And every action that we perform has some repercussion. We're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every one of our deeds. And the only one that we're going to meet on that day again is the one who is the master and the owner of that day. Malik Yawmuddin. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for from us? So how are we going to be successful, inshallah, on that day? Because as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like human beings. We're not going to be able to bribe Him or anything of that nature. We can't take our wealth to Him and offer Him our wealth, because actually He's the owner of the wealth in the first place. He's already taken it back from us by that time anyway. And we all know the answer to that is the only thing that we can have is our iman, our good deeds. We have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart. If we don't, there's not going to be any escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Quoting actually Ibrahim, the verse in the Quran says, on that day, no wealth or children are going to be able to benefit anyone, except for the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart, and the Jannah, the paradise, will be brought close to the muttaqeen. And in hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us or told us, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَ فَيَرَجُعُ ثْنَانَ وَيَبْقَى مَعْهُ وَاحِدٌ يَتْبَعُهُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ فَيَرَجُعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى أَمَلُهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that three things follow the dead person to the grave. Two of them return and one of them stay with him. His family, his wealth, and his deeds follow him. And his family and his wealth return, and only his deeds remain with him. And another aspect, another way, we've talked about the fact that Malik Yawmuddin and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the judge on that day is actually a ramification or a manifestation of His rahmah. And at the same time, after mentioning Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminds us that He's Malik Yawmuddin, which means that we should not become complacent due to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman Ar-Rahim. He's Rahman Ar-Rahim, but He is still also Malik Yawmuddin. He's going to bring everyone to account on that day, and He will be a just owner, a just authority. So therefore, people have to be careful about doing sins and then saying, Allah is merciful, Allah is forgiving. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also stern in punishment and strong in punishment. And as I said, His judgment on that day will be one of justice also. So that's some reflections on the relationship between Malik Yawmuddin and what has come before it of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And now I'd just like to mention a few points about this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that He's Malik Yawmuddin. Some things maybe that can affect us, inshallah, when we're especially in the salat. And the most obvious thing is that when we go to the salat and we recite this surah 17 times a day, at least 17 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always reminding us that we're here with a purpose. In Malik Yawmuddin, one of the things in Malik Yawmuddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that there is going to be a day of reckoning, a day of judgment, and we are not here just as some useless thing or something without a purpose. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in different places in the Quran, reminds us that He has not created us just for no purpose or as some kind of meaningless being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you actually think that we created you without a purpose and you will not return to us? So every time when we enter the salat, every time that we make the salat, we are reminded that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik Yawm al-Din. As I said, there's going to be repercussions for every action that we do. We're going to have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on some day, and we have to prepare for that day. And we already spoke about what does it mean to prepare. What can we prepare? We have to prepare the pious, the good deeds, our iman, for that day. So as you read Al-Fatiha, if you read it, as we said, if you read it thinking about what it means, every time, every rak'ah, you are reminded of the fact that you as a creation have been created for a purpose, and you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you responsible for the deeds that you have performed. And this obviously should motivate us to do good deeds. And when we do good deeds, to whom do we do good deeds? Or for whom do we do good deeds? Obviously, we're doing it these deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to whom and who benefits from it? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us that He is Rabbul Alameen. And a point that due to time we didn't go over it, but all of the creation is part of His Rububiyah. And actually all of the creation, even the inanimate objects, they submit to Him and they have a kind of worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that He is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Rahman Rahim and He is Malik Yawm al-Din. So all of these aspects should make us realize that we should behave in a certain way because we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in particular, we should behave properly towards every aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dominion. And if you think about it, that means there's nothing outside of His dominion. Whether it is our own nafs, as we said, our own nafs belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not actually belong to ourselves. It actually belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not have the right to wrong our own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us that right. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us our nafs and gave us our body and gave us our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us many rights. In His Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many rights. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us the right to wrong ourselves. And we know what it means to wrong ourselves, commit kufr, commit shirk, commit sins. All of these things are ways by which we wrong ourselves. And we don't have the right to wrong others. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of all of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, Malik Yawm al-Din, is going to bring us all back. All of these people, all of this existence are under His dominion. And He will hold us responsible for our actions towards others. We don't have the right to wrong anyone. Whether it's a believer or a disbeliever, whatever, it doesn't matter. We don't have the right to wrong anyone. And in fact, we don't have the right to wrong or mistreat animals or the environment or anything. Because these are all part of the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so actually when we think about our actions, we have to think about our actions towards everything. Towards everything that is part of this dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will bring all of these things back. Even if we wronged an animal, even if we wronged the environment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring these things back as witnesses against us. He's the Rabbul Alameen. He is nourishing all of these things and supporting all of these things. So we do not have the right actually to violate any of those rights. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, by reminding us of Malik Yawm al-Din, makes it very clear to us that this world is a world of action, but it is not the world of judgment. This is not the world where people are going to be recompensed for their deeds. That will come in a different realm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again reminds us of this when we read. And what this means is that if someone, for example, is rich and powerful in this world, that doesn't necessarily mean that he is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's made it in this world and he's going to make it in the hereafter. Doesn't mean at all, because that's not what this world is about. How many throughout the history, you just go to the Quran, how many throughout the history, and the kuffar, disbelievers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had everything that they wanted of this dunya. Does not mean anything. This is not the world, this is not the realm in which we get our rewards for what we're doing. But this is a realm of action and trials for that day in which we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the Protestants have what they call the Protestant ethic. And you see it, they don't refer to it explicitly too much anymore. But you see its ramifications among people here. That they believe that if God loves you, that He's going to give you in this world. So therefore, if you're not doing well in this world, this is a sign that God doesn't love you. You just look at how someone is doing, and then they say that's a sign whether God loves him or not. So the more people can get wealth, and the more they, it doesn't matter what means, doesn't matter what, even what means, they get the wealth. If they have the wealth and they're rich and powerful, that's a sign that they are beloved to God. But we know that this is not what this world is about. The prophets suffered, the prophets faced difficulties, and yet the prophets are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They faced trials, they faced difficulties. Some of them did not even get any followers in this world. They will be on the day of judgment, prophets without any followers. They were ridiculed by the people, you know, sometimes attacked and so forth. So this is as I said, you cannot look at what happens in this world and say, this person got citizenship, this means he's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, that may be a means to his destruction. But at the same time, there could be some punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in this world. Especially, one of the points that some scholars made is that when it comes to punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves a lot of the punishment for the Muslims in this world and not in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves the rewards for the disbelievers in this world and their greater punishment in the hereafter. And this is again part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Muslims, every human being commits sins. Every human being does wrong. And it is much better that you have those sins wiped away from you in this world than in the hereafter. Because the gravity of the punishment in the hereafter is much greater than this world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does sometimes punish in this world, especially what we call the societal laws or the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish in this world. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in one example, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That we shall give them part of the lesser punishment before the greater punishment so that they may return. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Yani as a wake-up call, that they may return. But even these, yani both sides, even the pleasures of this world are not going to be like the pleasures of the hereafter. And the punishments in this world are not going to be like the punishments in the hereafter. So therefore, the real rewards and the real punishment are reserved for that day. So we cannot look at what is happening in this world and say that, this means that this person is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This poor person must not be beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, there's many hadith of the Prophet when he's describing some people who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones who are very simple. They don't have much of this world. People don't go to them and ask them for favors or anything because they don't think this person can do anything. But they are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore they are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of judgment, the real criteria of who deserves honor, the real criteria of who deserves the respect of the people and who doesn't deserve the respect of the people, this will actually come out on the day of judgment. So therefore, obviously, this phrase actually, Malik Yawm al-Din, in itself, this phrase is both targhib and tarhib. It is both targhib and tarhib. It is both a kind of incitement or encouragement to do good deeds. Because if you know that you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and He's going to be the only authority on that day, and He's also filled with rahmah, then this is just the idea, just the concept of Malik Yawm al-Din is an incitement to do good deeds. That's what we call a targhib, yani a kind of incitement, encouragement to do good deeds. And at the same time, it is a kind of tarhib. Because you know that if you do acts that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those deeds. So every time when we read this in the salat, every time again, this is a kind of tarhib, what tarhib? Both encouragement to do good deeds and also a kind of warning to stay away from the evil deeds. Alhamdulillah, on that day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge between all of the creation. And His judgment for the believers is based on justice and mercy and grace, while His justice for the disbelievers will be one of justice. We know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when we do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies them for us. That is part of His mercy and His compassion. And He may multiply them 10 times, up to 700 times, even more than that. So that is part of His mercy, but at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong anyone. So it's a difference between if you reward someone graciously and when you punish someone. There's a big difference between the two. You can reward graciously, but you cannot go overboard and punish him. This would be wrong. You can reward graciously, no one can complain about that. But when you're going to punish, you have to punish justly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the good deeds as part of His rahmah. But all of the evil deeds that we perform, every deed will be just one deed without any multiplication. And this is part of the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us in that way, among the believers, among the Muslims, among the people that have some iman in their heart, their deeds were so bad that they will still be sent to the hellfire. And this is something to reflect upon. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful in His judgment, and He multiplies the good deeds. Yet even though we know that there will be people who have iman in their hearts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in the hellfire. As long as they have some iman, as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually rescue them from the hellfire and put them into Jannah. But the idea of going to the hellfire should be enough to make people realize that they don't want to be among those people whatsoever. Now there are other people, as we know, there are other people who are the disbelievers who commit shirk with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. In a couple of places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive shirk. And He forgives whatever is less than that to whomsoever He wills. And as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in a couple of places in the Quran. Because shirk, ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is completely inexplicable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with a fitrah that we can understand that there's no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should turn only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the bounties that we possess, and yet instead of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we turn our back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that. This is, as I said, unforgivable, and it is actually inexplicable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this and gives a clear message and establishes the proof against someone, and still he refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or still he insists on associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive shirk, and those people will be in the hellfire forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in different place in the Quran, I'll just give one example. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَظَلَمُوا لَمْ يَكُونِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ طَرِيقًا إِلَّا طَرِيقَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَآمِنُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ وإن تكفروا فإن لله ما في السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who commit kufr and do wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not about to forgive them, and He will not guide them to a path except to the path of the hellfire where they will abide forever. And that is something easy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning that, reminds us of the fact that He has sent clear proofs that there's no excuse for this kind of behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, the messenger has come to you from your Lord with the truth, so believe in him, it will be best for you. And if you disbelieve, then to Allah belongs everything in the heavens and the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and all-wise. In general, when you think about the disbelievers in this life, they rejected the clear message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they refused to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their intention is not to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as they're living, their intention is not to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since they have that intention of forever not submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that intention, at least this is one of the explanations that some of the ulama have given, because their intention was to forever not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to commit their kufr, then because of that intention they would be forever in the hellfire. Again, when we think about this day of judgment, one of the effects that it should have on us, because as I said, this is not the world in which all of the rewards and all of the punishments will be given. So what this should mean to us, another reminder for us when we say Malik Yawm al-Din, we have to remember earlier, Rabbul Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. He is in charge of everything in this creation. And He reminds us that He is Rahman Rahim, and He reminds us again that He is Malik Yawm al-Din. So we know that there is going to be a day in which everything is going to be worked out, and no injustice is going to be done to anyone. What this should mean for the believer in this world is that the believer does not have to worry, or does not have to, I should say, over-worry himself or bother himself with respect to those people who do him wrong in this world. Now, if someone does you wrong, you have the right to have it rectified in this world, right? You can go to the court and so forth. But many times, things happen where you don't have the ability to rectify what is wrong. For some people, if they don't have the ability to rectify what is wrong, they will get very upset. This will bother them maybe for years or so. Especially if it's, for example, a people. Suppose a whole country, a whole nation is wrong. In fact, if you go to most nations nowadays, those nations that, those people, for example, who years ago something happened to them, they're still upset about what happened to them. Right? Or our people were massacred by those people 250 years ago. So I'm still upset with these people now. And this is all over the world this happens. But the Muslim, alhamdulillah, knows that actually all of these things are going to work out in the end. His only responsibility is to behave properly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he behaves properly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not have to worry about all the wrong that people do to him that he cannot rectify. Doesn't have to worry about it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them, no matter how much wrong they do to him. And in fact, they might be a great source of ajr for him. And if, for example, backbiting and these kind of sins even did happen among Muslims. You know, when people backbite you and they slander you and so forth, sometimes you're in a situation you cannot do anything about it. And if you try to do something, it's going to make the whole situation much worse. It's going to lead to much more evil than good. But you know, alhamdulillah, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people actually may be giving you more and more hasanat every day. So, and you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have to worry about what will happen to you in this world as long as you are responding in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's one exception to when this belief in the hereafter will have this kind of effect that it should have on the believers. And that is when the person himself, or when that community of believers, began to believe themselves as the chosen people, or having some kind of special rights with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we spoke about before, when we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen, this means He's the Rabb of everyone. He's the Rabb of the Muslims and the non-Muslims. He's not just, for example, the God of the tribe of Israel and so forth. So when people start believing that they are the chosen people, then they start thinking that whatever they do in this world, it doesn't matter. Because they are God's chosen people. Nothing is going to happen to them when they meet God, because God has already taken them as their chosen people. Maybe because of their race, maybe whatever. Or maybe because the fact they say that they believe, you know, like the Christians. You know, the Christians believe basically that their sins are forgiven, right? Just because they say that they believe in, you know what they believe in. Just because they say they believe in that, then they believe that their sins are forgiven. So the idea of the Day of Judgment for the believer having the kind of effect that it should have is lost. See, the true believer, the Muslim, is always between hope and fear. Always between the hope of Rahman and Rahim and the fear of the fact that Malik Yawm al-Din. And once you lose that, once you go into actually to either extreme, we talked about the fact that despairing from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually kufr, it is completely unacceptable for believers. And also when you go to the other extreme of thinking that no matter what you do, you are God's chosen person. So therefore you will think that you don't have to worry about your deeds. You did someone wrong, it doesn't matter. God has already forgiven you, or God has already reserved something special for you. And you become like the person described in Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the gardens of this world, and he said, وَمَا أَظُنُّ سَعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَيْنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. First he says, I don't even think the day of resurrection is coming. And even if it comes, I'll find something much better when I return to God. We talked about Alhamd, and one of the things we did not talk about when we spoke about Alhamd is the fact that Alhamd belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no Muslim can ever self-praise himself and think that he is so special to God that somehow no matter what he does, God is pleased with him and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us about that in the Quran. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنَ اتَّقَى. And do not declare yourself as so pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is most knowledgeable of the people of taqwa. Inshallah, in the last few minutes that we have remaining, inshallah, I just want to comment on what we have read so far of the Quran. And what are the things that come out most? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. One of the things that we can see very clearly in this opening passage of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to recite over and over again, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Himself and telling us about Himself. He is giving us some of the most important names and attributes that He has. He is Allah, and we talked about the meaning of Allah. He is Rabbul Alameen. He is Ar-Rahman. He is Ar-Rahim. And He is Maliki Yawm al-Din. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of the Quran is telling us about Himself. Another hadith, we talked about the fact that Surah Al-Fatiha is the most virtuous surah of the Quran. The most virtuous ayah of the Quran is Ayat Al-Kursi. And if you read Ayat Al-Kursi, once again, it is all a description about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this makes it very clear to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about Himself in the Quran. And one of the things that we have to get from the Quran is the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is part of His mercy upon us that He is telling us about Him. Unfortunately, many people when they read, for example, when they read the Quran, when they're reading tafsir, or when they're giving tafsir, I heard many times people giving tafsir, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the verses of the Quran with some of His names, وَهُوَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ or something of, or His names or His attributes. And many times the one giving the tafsir will explain the whole verse and then just say, and then Allah is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ and go on to the next verse. And as if these things are not important or not that essential. But actually it is one of the key aspects of the Quran, one of the key teachings that the Quran is giving us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this knowledge is actually key. Because inshallah, very shortly we'll talk about ibadah. What is ibadah? One of the key aspects of ibadah, what ibadah is really all about, is having love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. having love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. And the people who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who go through the Qur'an and read the Qur'an and understand the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones who know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, because they know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have this drive in their heart to want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have this drive in their heart to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best way possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes someone very dear to them, above anything else in their hearts. But this only comes to them when they learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they study about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they know their Lord. And many of the ulama throughout the history have spoken about the importance of knowing the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Ibn Taymiyyah said, whoever knows the names of Allah and their meanings, believing in them, will have a more complete faith than the one who does not know them, but just believes in them in general. Sa'di said, whenever a person's knowledge of Allah's beautiful names and attributes increases, his faith also increases, and his certainty is further strengthened. And in fact, if a person has a good knowledge of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in reality he will have a good knowledge and understanding of what is going on in the world. What is reality? Because these are all surrounded by the deeds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Ibn al-Qayyim said, whoever knows Allah knows everything other than Him. And whoever is ignorant of his Lord is even more ignorant of everything other than Him. And if, for example, you will not know the reality of this dunya unless you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be ignorant of the reality of this dunya. So the more we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we can learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, that would give us stronger iman, stronger yaqeen. And as I said, it is clear from the Qur'an, what is the most virtuous verse in the Qur'an is clear from the most virtuous surah in the Qur'an that we repeat over and over again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about Himself, and it is upon us then to take that knowledge and to benefit from that knowledge. And inshallah, when we do, it will have a great effect upon us. And if, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some hadith when he described himself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many times described himself as the one who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best. He has the best knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, in the case where some people were not willing to follow his sunnah, who were going beyond the extremes in the sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ said, what is wrong with these people that they do not desist from something? By Allah, I am more knowledgeable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have more khashya or more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is the most knowledgeable about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most knowledgeable about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is one of the reasons why he is the most fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatest abd or the greatest servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course we mentioned before the hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسَّةً وَتِسْعِينَ أَسْمَاءً مِئَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah has 99 names, 100 less one. Whoever أَحْصَاهَا, whoever memorizes them, learns them, and lives according to their implications, will enter Jannah. Well, inshallah, on that point we'll end the discussion, and next time inshallah we'll take up إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.